It's the Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and Kay Hirsch. David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschelman along with you today. And another sports season comes to an end. I mean, if you didn't make the postseason, football regular season's over. So for a lot of schools in the state, they're done. And it's basketball season for them.
There you go.
Or wrestling season.
Or wrestling, yeah.
Or... I'm blanking. What do girls participate in the winter? I should know this.
Girls basketball?
That's right. I thought there was another option for some reason.
No, I don't think there is.
Occasionally a handful of girls wrestle throughout the state.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Victoria Francis did, and now, you know, she was about a half step away from being an Olympian. So
cheerleading is in the winter, but that doesn't count because they've already been going on through the fall, so it's not starting up. It's just shifting venues.
I don't know if some of the bigger schools have some other sports or not in the winter. But
is that all it is basketball and wrestling? And
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be more.
But it's constant. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Tuesdays and Fridays, boys basketball. Mondays and Thursdays, girls basketball. For the most part, you know, there's some changes.
The occasional Saturday game.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of wrestling tournaments are on Saturdays. So it'll be fun, though.
It should be. Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about let's just dive right into it, recapping the high school football season. Kyle, you covered Litchfield for this season, as you do most years. They ended the same way they ended last season, you know, winless 0-9, but they looked a lot better, I believe, this season than they did last year. They were 0-9, but they very could have easily been 4-5 because four of those games, they were right there.
Yeah, and just like the atmosphere around the program really seemed, you know, more positive. And you know, I give Coach Tom Priddle a lot of that. You heard a lot of get your heads up, you know, and even when they were down. And you know, and they had a lot to build off of. Hopefully they can get some more kids out next year.
I would imagine they'll have an easier time. It was probably difficult just because, and I'm sure we've mentioned this before, Tom was hired so late. He was hired after the school year started, so he didn't really have a chance to connect at all with the students at the end of the school year. So his recruiting essentially started as soon as school started back in August. So he should have a better time getting numbers up this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think... you know, I'm sure there were some people that were waiting to see, you know, if they were going to have a coach or when they were going to have a coach, you know, and then just decided not to go out. But
he was hired in June, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe you're correct. So, but they'll bring back some good kids, some good players. Sam Painter, starting quarterback, among them. But, you know, they'll lose some good athletes too.
I think he said on Saturday 13 seniors graduating, so he does have quite a bit leaving, and that's a lot for a team that didn't have that many players anyway.
So that's probably close to half the team, I would imagine.
And so, I know their 7th and 8th grade JFL teams were combined because they were struggling with numbers too. So
hopefully he'll get out some of those kids that didn't play the year before for whatever reason, or some new guys, and it's going to be a process, I think,
right.
You know.
Hard to say, but there may not be freshman football next year. It's hard to say at this point.
And actually, they haven't had freshman football in a while. They've done
fresh soft JV.
Yeah, they've done like a JV team, or fresh soft team. But it was one of those things that was weird. It was a weird situation. Like the SEC recommended it,
Instead of just having a freshman team?
Yeah, instead of having three teams. This was like several years ago. They wanted the schools to go from having a freshman team, a JV team, and a varsity team to just having a freshman, sophomore team, and a varsity team.
Yeah.
And nobody really took it up but Litchfield.
That's honestly not a bad idea, because Litchfield's not the only place in the state where numbers are struggling. I mean, struggling everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you said, it happened some years ago. I don't know if it was mandated back then, but I remember when I was in high school, around my freshman, I think it was freshman year, is when we started, like, we had a freshman team to start the season, but about midway through, it became a freshman-sophomore season.
Sure.
And I think from there on, we started doing fresh off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough, you know, like you said, with numbers and things like that. I think you just have to kind of roll with what you got. So, but you know, I think Tom's got the program headed in the right direction attitude-wise. And, I mean, it's now 19 games, losing streak.
Yep.
So, hopefully that'll come to an end next year.
All it takes is one.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, hopefully he has that that kind of can keep up the attitude and keep things going. So.
Right. Another team whose season came to an end was Nokomis. They finished the season 4-5, I believe, after defeating Pawnee over the weekend. And Pawnee only had one win on the season, so it was a tough year for them as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw online Frank Steele from Huddle posted a video of a pretty impressive touchdown from Drew Watson threw back to Alex DeSetti, and then halfback passed threw it to Connor Engelman for a 77-yard touchdown.
That's neat.
A little trickeration. Sure. But
is that Connor's first game?
Second game. He played in his first game the week before, which was senior night, and then he played and had another really good game. I think he had over 100 yards receiving again, two touchdowns. So I think he ended up with like three touchdowns and over 200 yards receiving, and only played two games. I mean,
it's impressive.
Yeah, just a really good kid too, and a lot of determination after some really bad arm injuries.
Right.
So.
Well, and you wonder what the season could have been like had he been available all season. I mean, they were one away from postseason eligibility. So.
Yeah. Well, him and you know, they also lost Ben Marley.
That's right.
Midway through the season or so.
So he got to break his record before going down with
injury. Yeah, absolutely. Which was a nice moment for him. So. But you know, they're losing a lot of seniors too. I mean, in a lot of key positions, but they have some guys coming back. But like, Drew Watson was their quarterback. He's a senior. Connor Engelman's a senior. Ben Marley's a senior. Braden Sobel's a senior. You know, there's a lot of guys, that have meant a lot to that team.
Right.
But you know, aforementioned Alex DeSetti is a sophomore. Adam Lyons, who was their top running back, was a sophomore. Ryan Jansen's also a sophomore, I believe. So
that's another program that I don't know about this year. I believe it was last year they were struggling with some numbers, maybe last 2 years. But this year, I don't know how their numbers were.
Yeah, I think they were okay. You know, whenever you get a school the size of Nokomis, and they're going it alone now, they're not continuing the co-op. And co-ops are hard in football, I think, because you get, I mean, you may only get a few kids, which can be crucial whenever you have a small team, but it bumps you up an entire class.
No, that's right.
Or sometimes two classes.
That's right.
So it's tough for them, I'm sure.
It absolutely is. I think Nokomis, they got bumped up. They're a 1A school, but they got bumped up to 2A the past few times they've been in the postseason.
Yeah, I know they played Staunton 1 year, I think.
And played Monticello another.
Yeah.
Who this year is 3A, 3 or 4A, 3A, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough go for them. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they'll keep plugging along, and we'll see. Like I said, they got some talented kids, younger kids at some key spots too, like I said, with Alex DeSetti and Adam Lyons. So,
sure.
So they should be pretty good.
Absolutely. Hillsboro, to finish out the Montgomery County schools, they are still playing.
Yeah.
So
they are going a long way.
They are going a long way. But they got seated pretty low, but that's the way the class was. 3A was stacked. They were 6-3, not a 5-4 team in the class.
That's insane.
It's just, that's how it is. I mean, you want to speak to how tough and how stacked the class was. Alton Marquette won the Prairie State Conference, finished 8-1. They're going to be on the road in the first round.
Yeah. and that's you just look up and down there, and there's a lot of really good teams there. So,
yeah.
I know Hillsboro's happy that they're in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
And
Aaron Duff seems to be pretty happy with his draw.
You know, I mean, you never know. If at least it's something different for him.
Right.
You know, I mean, the last few years they've gone up to Williamsville, and and you know what to expect with Williamsville, and that's not always, you know, I mean.
Well, what the way he said it, it's a matchup where I believe the style that Williamsville plays, or not Williamsville, excuse me, Anna Jonesboro plays on offense is one that he's comfortable with game planning against. I don't think it's a spread.
No, I don't think so either. I think they, from what I've heard, is they got a couple really good running backs.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it'll be a fun game. I mean, a little smash mouth and be pretty entertaining.
It'll
so.
Probably be two very similar style teams playing against each other.
Yeah, which will be fun, you know. And I mean, I think like you said, I think Hillsboro is comfortable with that style of play. So
they absolutely are. It would be incredible. It's going to be an uphill battle, but it would be incredible if four of the South Central Conference teams won. I am not including Carlinville right now because they're kind of in a different quadrant.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if the four other South Central Conference teams win, they all play each other in the second round. So it would be fantastic if that happened.
That'd be a trip. Yeah, I saw Pena and DeCoin are in the bottom half of the bracket. And then who's it, Vandalia and Cesar? Or
Greenville plays Cesar. Greenville. Vandalia plays Fairfield.
Fairfield, that's
Vandalia
right.
Vandalia is at Fairfield. And that's a winnable game.
And one of my favorite mascots, the Fairfield Mules.
Mules, that's right.
So, yeah.
That's not. Fairfield has had a good run in the regular season the past few years, but their regular season success has not translated into postseason success.
Weren't they the team that like Staunton beat?
And when they went to the state champion, I believe in the first round, and then it was Carlisle in the second round. So yeah, 8-0 was the final score. Yeah, it's a winnable game. Vandalia's got a very good offense. They put quite a few points on Pena's defense. Almost, I think they were up by 2 touchdowns at one point on Friday.
You know, and it's all about matchups too. It seems like that was especially the case this year in the South Central Conference.
Yeah.
You know, you see a team like Vandalia that threw up huge numbers on a lot of schools, but then struggled against some other ones.
Yeah.
And you know, same thing with Hillsboro. Same thing, even to a lesser extent, Carlinville and Pena. You know, I mean, with Carlinville losing to Greenville this past week, you know, I mean, part of it's Greenville's a really good team, but part of it's just got to be their styles don't mesh up.
Well, and not only that, I believe they lost their second starting offensive line in the season that game. So they're down two offensive linemen heading into the postseason. And there was talk that maybe right now Hillsboro might be the best team in the South Central Conference.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean,
two of their three losses came in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, so I mean, they're a solid team, and if they show up and if they play up to their capabilities, they have the opportunity to do something like a Staunton did, kind of come from behind, or you know, the back of the pack, and kind of you know, make a difference. So
speaking of Staunton, didn't they finish 5-4? Or four, not 5-4, excuse me, 4-5?
I think so.
Yeah,
so
about that.
You know, great season for them, too. So, like I said, just a lot of – it was an interesting year, in the South Central Conference for football. I mean, just a lot of different things. You never really could be 100% sure of what was going to happen.
It seemed like it was a lot more competitive top to bottom than normal, because even the bottom teams competed with some of the other teams this year.
Absolutely. You know, like you were saying with Litchfield, you know, I mean, they had every opportunity to be 4-5, you know.
Right.
I mean, Greenville handed Carlinville their only loss of the season, and if it weren't for an interception in the end zone, you know, Litchfield may have beat them.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that and, you know, Moss wouldn't have ran for
1,000 yards in one game.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But that's the way it goes.
And it was, like I said, it was just fun and competitive, and you never really knew what was going to come in, week out. And there's some really good players this year, especially a running back, it seems. You know, like I said, Christian Moss from Greenville.
Well, who would have thought the best running back in the conference would have been from Greenville?
Yeah.
Or arguably the best.
Or, yeah, one of them. Yeah. You know, I think he's got to be in the conversation, you know. And then, you know, Trevor Smalls from Vandalia.
Right.
You know, he's a quarterback, but Jake Beeson from from Pena is just a phenomenal player. Kyle Dixon from Carlinville. Drake Payton's exciting player. Gunnar Lentz, you know, from both of those guys from Hillsboro.
Hillsboro's rushing attack. They don't have one guy. They've got, like, a whole swarm.
Well, and the best part, like, we were in Columbia for see the Mizzou game, so we didn't go to the Hillsboro-Litchfield game. But, you know, I was looking through the stats. Dugan.
I assume it's Dugan.
Runs for 97 yards. You know, I mean, he's normally kind of their blocking back, and, you know, got the opportunity to carry the ball some and just goes off.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's, like I said, it's just a fun attack. And then, like I said, whenever you have just an all-around athlete like Drake Payton, you have a fantastic tight end wide receiver in Jordan Gregg. You know, I don't know how many touchdowns he has on the year, but it seems like every time I do the stats up, he's scoring.
Right.
So
yeah. If as long as the toppers stay healthy, they're going to be dangerous right now in the postseason. Because they from where they were when the season started, which was not bad, to now is incredible.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's some
they got a quarterback who threw for 1,000 yards this year.
who's built like a, you know, linebacker.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and like I said, Greg's a tough matchup. If they decide to air the ball out a little bit, you know, I mean, he's what, probably 6'5", 200?
Yeah.
You know, he's 195 or so in wrestling. So,
you got Payton at the wide receiver, Greg at the tight end, but three or four running backs who can catch it in the flat.
Yeah, and just go for a long way. Yeah. So. So yeah, it's gonna be fun, and I haven't researched Anna Jonesboro yet, but you know all those teams down there are tough,
right?
You know
they played North Mac last year in the second round because we did that game. I believe it was a low scoring. I think North Mac won by a field goal, and I want to say the final score was something like 10-7. It was really low scoring, and that North Mac team could score last year, so it'll probably be a low-scoring affair this year,
it'll
regardless of the outcome.
Like I said, I mean, Hillsboro hasn't had that many low-scoring games. Well, I mean, they've been low-scoring on the other side, but, you know, they're usually good for four or five touchdowns, so it'll be fun. You know, I'm excited to see how it turns out. So.
Pena and Vandalia were the only teams to put up more than 20 points on Hillsboro this season.
Yeah.
Carlinville scored 18, and no one else. I think there was one other team that scored, may have scored 20, but Pena and Vandalia scored 27. Pena put up 60 something, I think.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. And Vandalia is so tricky, you know? I mean, they got so many weapons. Right. They can hurt you so many
ways.
Well,
and it was week two of the season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, and that was an interesting, I think I was checking scores and getting updates whenever we were in Columbia, and it was 35-35 Pena and Vandalia at halftime. I mean, that had to be just a shootout.
That was like,
time.
I'm not kidding, that was like minutes after it was 35-21. Vandalia was up 35-21, and like minutes later, it's tied at 35.
That's insane.
Like, what happened?
Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's been a fun year.
It has been a fun year.
Yeah. So, and I think hopefully that'll continue into basketball season too, but not quite yet. I'm not ready for it yet. So
volleyball's still going on. We've got some regionals that'll be starting. Is it this week?
Yeah, start tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I am headed to Carlinville tonight to watch Litchfield play Southwestern.
Is that a 3-class or 4-class sport?
It is a 4-class sport. Yeah. So most of the South Central Conference teams are in 2A. Most of our like if you look at like Lincolnwood, Nokomis, Pawnee, Mount Olive, they're all 1A. So I have the four Montgomery County teams are headed to four different locations.
Of course they are.
So Pawnee is hosting one regional. Nokomis is over there. They play tonight against Calvary. Lincolnwood is at the Greenfield Regional.
That's a trip.
Yeah, which is a haul. Which last year they were at Brussels,
about the same area. It's still a trip.
Yeah, they've been headed down to the river. You know, I think there's just not that many 1A teams, so they end up headed that direction. But Lincolnwood's the top seed in the subsectional, so they get a bye. They play tomorrow against I believe it's either Greenfield or Morrisonville.
Yeah.
Hillsboro also gets by. They're played tomorrow against the winner of Marquette and DuPo at the DuPo Regional. So, which also kind of a long way down there.
Yeah, it is.
And
just different direction.
DuPo's lovely this time of year. So,
isn't it? But by the quarry.
I've never been to DuPo High School. Oh. I've been by like their football field and stuff, but I've never been to DuPo High School. So tomorrow I get my first opportunity.
I've been twice.
Yeah.
Both times for a football game.
Sure.
When Litchfield was down there once, my sister was cheering and I was a freshman. The other time I was running the camera for the football team. I believe the school is down, if I remember correctly, it's down the street from the quarry.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you get a nice view of the rock quarry. It's not that far.
You would have thought they could have, incorporated that in the name or something instead. Yeah. I think they're just the Tigers or something. So.
Something like that. I think, some sort of cat, I believe.
Generic cats.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. But yeah. So it's lovely this time of year.
Whenever we're headed down to Columbia, Mary and I were talking about what we'd do if we had $1 billion. And I said I would build a high school, just like state-of-the-art high school. And,
we make it private or public?
Oh, public. Public, but for like the county.
Yeah.
We came up, we were thinking of nicknames, and Paper boys.
Hey.
get the play a journal news field. So
That'd be okay.
But paper, I thought paper boys was a quality
would
nickname.
You have to do paper girls for the girls.
I would say I would assume so. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm not sure. Paper women sounds paper quite women. Right, but paper boys, paper girls, so
paperettes.
I like it.
But then that's assuming that paper is the male form of. The term, and I don't think that's a good assumption.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. No. in this day and age, you don't want to assume paper's gender.
That's right. It's gender fluid, as they say.
Which is kind of like whiteout.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
But yeah, like I said, volleyball's still going on. Cross country's going on, and.
I thought their regionals were last week. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, the regionals were last week.
Okay.
They all advanced to the sectionals.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, Litchfield boys and girls.
Pardon me for assuming.
Yeah. No, they're actually really good. Again, and not to take anything away from their accomplishment, because, this was the sixth year in a row that Litchfield had qualified for the sectional for the girls as a team. The boys... It was the first year since 2012. So it's an accomplishment. But they take 7 teams from the regional, which seems like a lot to me. But still, like I said, good turnout. Hillsboro actually had a runner on the girls' side, freshman Maddie Rupert, who qualified for sectionals as an individual.
Right.
Which she hasn't ran a single race all year. But finished 14th overall, so that was pretty cool. Which if you've seen any local 5Ks or anything, you've seen Maddie run a lot. So
sure,
and several of her family members are runners too. So
yeah,
but yeah, like Riz said, really cool deal. The sectional will be in Carlinville. The Carlinville boys are very, very good. They won the South Central Conference title last Monday. The girls' race was won by Staunton, who has a freshman named Lydia Roller, who won by like...
Lydia High Roller. We're going to get that nickname.
Exactly. She's really, really good.
Or Steam. Would you prefer Steamroller?
That may be better.
Okay.
Because
Lydia Steamroller?
Because, she beat everybody by a pretty fair margin. So.
That's right. Steamrolling a competition.
I kind of like the Steamroller.
Lydia Steamroller. There you go.
That's
you heard it here first.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But yeah, like I said, cross country, they'll be in Carlinville for the sectional this Saturday, and then the state meet is in Peoria at Detweiler Park, which is really, really a nice place. Really big, really beautiful, really hard to cover because they go everywhere.
You know? A lot of ground.
I try to find a place where maybe they go by twice. You know.
Do you take a golf cart with you?
No, I should.
Or a Segway at the very least.
That's what I was trying to figure out, like a way, like maybe like a moped or something. You know, Tim Johnson, the Kernville soccer coach, before the Kernville kickoff classic, he was riding around on a moped pulling flags from the corners. Right, so right. At the end of that, that seemed like a good idea to me. So,
right.
I don't really have very many good ideas though. So.
Neither do I. But that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Hey, before we move on, I do want to make this announcement. This is going to be our final podcast for the foreseeable future. Due to some scheduling conflicts, and we can leave it at that. We've decided to go on hiatus.
I hate it, but it's probably a good idea at this time. So.
That's just the way it works. We may resume. We may not. We hope so. We'll just we'll have to see how life happens.
Absolutely.
No, yeah. I announce it now because I do want to segue into the next topic. I do want to kind of preview winter sports a little bit since we won't be doing this during the winter sports more than likely. It'll be the last one. I don't remember what number it is. I should have looked at that before we started, but We've had fun doing it.
I'd say it was a good, you know, good fall sports thing. If nothing
we made it
else,
more than 10.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So I think that's commendable. Yeah. But you know, it's
you have the box CD collection if you want.
But yeah, no, winter sports should be fun this year.
They should. What are some things you're looking forward to basketball season? Obviously, that's the one that'll get a lot of the coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to, I think Hillsboro is going to have a pretty solid team with Drake Payton. They'll miss Donovan Moore.
They will.
Although he didn't play at all last year, so his impact isn't as big as what.
Didn't he play like one game, one or two games?
Yeah, he played, but you know, yeah. You know what I meant.
Essentially,
he didn't. He didn't play any significant minutes for them. So that'll be.
They know what it's like, obviously.
Exactly. It's not a big surprise.
Probably the biggest adjustment for them will be what it's like without Stephen Finske.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was kind of a do everything kid and really good ball player. So.
And Mitchell Reynolds. We can't forget him because, I mean, he didn't get probably the pub that Finske did, but he's still
a
starter and played significant minutes.
Yeah. And a great player. So, I think Nokomis is always good. The last, you know, they haven't had a season under 500 since 1984. So
even their average seasons by winning percentage end up being fantastic seasons.
Yeah, I have like the stats for Coach Kimbrough's tenure, and he's had like 25 win or seasons of 20 wins or more.
Right.
And just insane. And I think they'll be very good, too, this year with Braden and Carter Sobel, Austin McDowell, Camden Ransdale was a really good player last year until he kind of got injured but still came back and had a good year, too. So it'll be they're my pick to do well on the boys' side. You know, on the girls' side, I can't wait to watch Hillsboro play.
Should be fun.
Yeah, they'll be a good team. They lost a lot of seniors, Maddie Miller and Denzel Moore, Lindsay Major.
We'll see if Sammy Matouche breaks the Hillsboro school record this year. She's over 1,000 points already after two seasons. So,
which is kind of unreal. Whenever
I think
you
Hope
think about
Schulte
it.
Is this record holder.
Yeah, that's correct. With about 1,900 points, I want to say. So
we'll be doing a watch like we did last year with Brockmeyer on the point total watch. I'll have to get the total from you of what Matouche ended up
with.
I wasn't following her last year. I was following Brockmeyer. So this year, since she's close to the school record, and also be keeping a watch on the county record as well, because Venetia Waterman will be within sight.
Yeah, and which is kind of crazy when you think of it. We've had some really, you know, talented girls basketball players the last couple of years. Abby's now at Southern Illinois Carbondale, and on media day, her coach said that she is one of three freshmen that are in the mix for a starting spot.
Hey, how about that?
So, you know, they said her and young lady from Edwardsville, Mackenzie Sylvie, who was a teammate of Brock Myers at NAAU ball.
Mm-hmm.
They said they kind of lead their – they have, like, a point system, like, that goes measures, like, turnovers and you know, just a bunch of other factors, you know. And they said they're two of the ones that are leading it right now.
Okay.
So she really likes Abby's versatility. So, yeah. So it'll be fun seeing them, too.
It looked like she had maybe my eyes were deceiving me. It looked like she'd maybe bulked up a little bit, Abby.
Yeah, I'm not
that,
sure.
That may have come with being a college athlete and working out more.
Yeah. I imagine they do, you know, they have pretty intensive, like, weight training and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it's entirely possible.
I said, my eyes could have been deceiving me, but it looked like she had bulked up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think she's a hard player to guard, and I think even at that level she will be. You know, she's able to handle the ball, she's able to step out and shoot. I think she'll shoot a few more threes than
she was primarily a post player through her high school career. I wonder what her role is going to be in the collegiate level.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they're going to use her in a lot of different ways. You know, I think it'll be... you know, if she's going up against a bigger player, then they can kind of pull her out
and
have her play her a little further from the basket and maybe, you know, dribble, drive around. If they have her playing on a smaller player, she can post up.
And that being said, I mean, at least in the NBA, basketball is kind of shifting towards a positionless game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might see that in college as well, maybe a little bit slower, but it might go that way in college as well.
Yeah, so. I think you're absolutely right on that. You know, I think gone are the days whenever, you know.
You're a point guard, you're a shooting guard.
Yeah.
You're a 3, 4, or 5.
Exactly. I think if you can't kind of do a little bit of everything, that, you know, you're not going to get, you know. I think there's still some places for some of those people, especially like the you know, back to the basket, you know, shoot, you know, big men.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was hesitant to say big women. I'm not really too sure what the post...
Fours and fives, post players.
Post players. I think you'll see that a lot more in college. Even, I mean, you probably already see it with a lot of the bigger schools. You know, the Dukes, the Kansases, and some of those teams. But I think you'll start seeing it at the mid-major levels, too, so...
Kansai would be the plural form of Kansas. the Dukes, the Kansai.
The Kansai. Kentuckys.
Kentuckys. IES.
Kansan.
Kansan. There you go, Kansan. Like oxen. Two Kansan. Yeah. That works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how you do plural, so.
Absolutely. Not much to say with wrestling, just because I don't cover it as much. You cover it quite a bit. I would assume Litchfield's primed for another good year because they always have a good year.
They're going to be tough.
Is there another Davidson?
Yes, there is. There's Colin.
Or still a Davidson, I should
say. Still a Davidson. Collins is a senior this year. You know, he finished second at state his freshman year. He's been to state 3 times. He is a phenomenal athlete, you know, and will be, you know, he's had some health problems, some minor injury problems, but I think he'll be a good wrestler for them. Cam Lee, is a junior. He went up to Wisconsin to a big wrestling camp there, like a very high profile wrestling camp and did well. So he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And you know, as good as Litchfield's been, they've never had an individual state champion.
They haven't. I think second might be their best finish.
Yeah, so I think they've done that a couple times. I'm really hoping that this year's the year. If not, I think it'll come eventually. But they've done really well.
Corey Davidson was one of the second-place finishers. I know him pretty well. He knew how close he was, and regrets isn't the right word because he doesn't regret anything, but like just the empty feeling, I guess, of not being able to finish it because he knows it was right
and
there.
And Coy was such a competitor too, just fantastic. I mean the entire Davidson clan has been really good competitors, but Coy and his brother Chance.
Yeah, Chance was my age. Coy was a couple of years younger.
Yeah, so they were kind of the first. Coy was a freshman my first year at the paper. So that's how I kind of got used to covering wrestling and kind of did wrestling. So
that was my junior year of high school.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm kind of an old guy now. I feel older and older every day.
Nah.
Yeah, like I said, there's some really good athletes. There's some really good, like I said, Bailey Powell's a senior. He'll be at 108, I think again. I think that's where he's at. So, you know,
we're not that far removed from a third place team state finish.
Yeah,
I had that just a few years ago.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they have enough. The hard thing about that is you really got to have a lot of guys at
every level.
You got to have somebody at every weight class, and sometimes that's hard to get the little guys or get the big guys. You know, I mean. Even whenever they finished third at state,
right.
You know, they had a guy that was wrestling 220 wrestling at heavyweight, which is 285. That's the cap on that.
Sure.
So, you know, you might go up against a guy that's 270 and you're 220,
sure,
you know,
sure,
so,
sure.
Or 210 even. But, you know, I think it could be a good year for him. Hillsboro's going to struggle with numbers again, unfortunately, but hopefully they get some kids out. Jake Heffley is a really good wrestler for them. Jordan Gregg made it to state last year as a sophomore, and should do some damage this year as a
sure.
As a junior as well. So you know, big kid, quick, like I said, we talked about him on the football field, and he that translates well to his wrestling stuff too. So,
right.
Yeah, it should be fun. You know, I like wrestling. It's definitely an interesting kind of sport.
We've for years talked about, because I mean we don't sell wrestling for broadcasting, but we've talked for years about maybe trying to do one special event for wrestling and it being the Lovelet Invitational, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like everybody. Just about everybody in the area with a wrestling program is there, and
yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Huge event.
Yeah, and it's a great one, and you know, Coach Lovelet comes down and awards the medals, which is a really cool moment too. You know, anytime you get to receive your medal from the namesake of the tournament, that's
right.
Pretty neat. But yeah, like you said, you know, Carlinville, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Auburn.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of those teams that are Mount Olive. A lot of those teams that are in the area are all there. Plus,
I think they're co-oping with Staunton now. It was Mount Olive Gillespie. I think they've included Staunton in that this year.
I believe you're correct. I know there's been some changes and things.
Might even be Bunker Hill too. I think
it's
quite a few.
So it's just pretty much anybody on that southern side of Macoupin County.
We'll just corner.
Throw you all in. So.
Yeah.
The thing with wrestling is, like, I mean, Rochester's 1A, I think, so.
Yeah.
It's
three class.
Yeah, it's
so.
Three class, so there's a lot of wiggle room there. So, but, yeah, it's always a fun sport.
Which makes it all the more impressive, Litchfield finishing third a few years ago with all those schools.
Yeah, and the part of that is, too, is you have to get a good draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some teams at state that are just nasty. I mean, Dakota, I think, when, you know, they had a couple guys that went on to win state championships and wrestle in collegiately.
Yeah.
Josh Alber, I don't think ever lost a match.
Well, like with other sports in high school, I mean, wrestling is no different. There are programs throughout
yeah,
the state. I mean,
absolutely.
There are schools with absolute dynasties, essentially.
Yeah, and it's unreal, you know, as good as Litchfield been, you know, comparing them to, like, like a Dakota or in different class, Montini, you know, some of those programs.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have to build, like, another school to put the state trophies, so.
Porto's another one. I don't think they're on the same level, but they're
very good program.
Very good program.
And that's where Coach Lee went to high school at,
yeah.
too. So, you know, he knows a lot of those guys, too. So.
Well, I know they host one of the bigger tournaments in the area.
Yeah, it's a fun one, too.
Yeah.
Always have a really good one. There's also another tournament in Princeton, Illinois, called the Pitt, you know, Princeton Invitational Tournament.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes that's better than the state tournament. You know, they have just an unreal number. I mean, if you win that, you've really done something. So
right.
So it's cool. You know, like I said, ought to be fun.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Well, I just I remembered that that basketball and wrestling are the only sports in winter, it appears. So that pretty much previews all of our winter sports.
My idea, what I'd like to do sometime, I've talked to Pat Rentz about it, is I want to do a girls basketball game first, wrestling second, boys basketball game after. Just make it granted it'd be a really long day, but throw, you know, it doesn't take them very long to put the mats out.
No.
So just make it like a, you know, winter sports palooza.
Oh yeah, that'd be fantastic.
So, you know, do it with like Hillsborough or somebody like that. So
yeah, to kick off the season for everyone.
Yeah, you know, it'd just be a cool event.
Would be.
You know, Vandalia would be fun too. You know, those games are always interesting. So, like I said, that's my goal someday. I have a lot of crazy ideas. So.
It sounds like a very cool idea.
Yep.
You just have to get you have to get all the coaches on board and the ADs and everything.
Absolutely.
The host coaches and ADs on board more so than any. I'm sure the others would be fine with it, but the host coaches would be responsible for getting the wrestling mats down. And
yeah, I'd say that could be challenging. Yeah. But you know, anything that would give them more publicity for their sport, you know, would probably be in favor of it. So,
yeah, if just for the sake of having it, you might be better off having the wrestling first, so that they can have it and then peel the mat off, because it would be something to have the game and then put them down and then peel them back up and have another game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that too, but I just...
Or having wrestling at the end,
Yeah, I was worried you'd lose your crowd.
You could. I mean, the potential's there.
I thought the nice thing about doing it in the middle would be you would maybe get some exposure from some of the other, fans.
Yeah.
So, there's probably girls basketball fans and boys basketball fans that have never been to a wrestling match.
Well, yeah, I understand the premise. Just trying... From a logistics standpoint, trying to get the coaches involved, it might be difficult to have wrestling sandwiched in between.
I'm pretty smooth. I can...
Pretty flexible?
I can convince people pretty well.
Okay.
Especially whenever I...
Well, then get it done. Get this event planned.
I'll work on it.
All right, sounds good.
That'll be my next project. So.
Absolutely. Should be a good one. Would you do it for charity, or would you do it just in general, to have it?
Yeah, either way. You know, Lord, you know, knows that... I think charity is always a great thing. Yeah. So
I think it'd be a great way to kick off the winter sports season.
It'd be fun.
Your winter sports classic, just to kick off. I mean, obviously you could have basketball games and wrestling matches before then, but this would be kind of your kickoff event.
Either that, or we just do it all at once.
Yeah.
Girls play on one side, boys play
half
on
court.
One side.
Yeah.
Half court wrestling in the middle.
There you go. Yeah, wrestling on the half court circle.
On the half court circle.
And then the boys, that'd be fantastic. This is called the Jamboree.
Yeah.
You know, we're just free for all, everybody.
I love it.
Stay in your respective lanes.
If you win and then hit a half court shot, you win $500.
There you go. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Brushback, and for The Brushback in general for the time being. Again, you can hear us on WSMIRadio.com, radio.com. Go and listen to all of our episodes. They're online right now. Follow us on Twitter at DJenkinsWSMI, at JN Sports. Like us on Facebook and follow us around wherever we may be throughout the listening area in the state, and say hello.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to do it for now.
It's
thanks.
Been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. It's been awesome. Like I said, we'll try to get this going again later on.
Whenever,
if we don't.
Whenever life calms down.
Life happens, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk to you again later.